ELC Radio.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's our very special guest from Relevant Church in Daytona Beach, Florida, Pastor Chris Sarno.
Well, I'm excited to be here, man. You guys ready to go? Is it okay if I come down there? I'm not going to get in trouble. I'm going to be all over the place. Amen. You know what a great privilege it is to be here. Like I said, and today I want to talk to you. You know, the Lord's really laid something on my heart. I thought I was going to shift gears, but I think I'm going to stay here. Today I want you to know that sometimes everything in life isn't easy, but God has given us an answer for everything that we walk through. Amen? Amen? And today I want to talk to you. You know, I was thinking about it. The Lord's really been stirred in my heart about we got grace for the place. Amen? And I think, like, you know, it's funny. I'm like a faith guy, you know, and when I heard grace, you know, I'm like you know. But I want to put it in its right perspective because grace is not sloppy mercy. Okay? Now, I'm just going to talk to you guys. Grace is God's ability in me and God's ability on me, allowing me to do what I can't do. And we need the grace of God, amen? And the book of Acts, the Bible says this, it was greater grace. Greater grace was on them. They fellowshiped together in greater grace. Look at your neighbor and say, you got grace for the place. Look at your neighbor and say, you got grace for the place. Because sometimes in life it seems to be overwhelming, but God has given us ability, amen? Now, here's the key with grace. See, grace is an empowerment factor. It's not something that's like a messed up mess. You know what I mean? A lot of times it's like, oh, God gave you grace. No, grace, mercy is avoiding the punishment I should get. Amen? Grace is the empowering, making me bigger and stronger than the stuff I'm facing. Amen? You know, Paul said it the best. You know what I mean? When he said this, he remembered the story in the Bible, and I'm going to get in there. And God's going to heal your body and do all that cool stuff, and God's going to touch you, and God wants it to be there, and God wants to connect. But I got to get you to a place of expectation, because sometimes what happens in life is we stop dreaming. We stop expecting. We come to church, we sit, we settle, we kind of stagnate in this thing, and we kind of, okay, another Sunday. And if you're a first-time visitor, come back and hear the pastor, because this is his house. I just get the glorious opportunity to come in here and just add, but you got to hear their heart, amen? But today I want you to dream it. I want you to believe it. I want you to expect it. I want you to go bigger. I want you to expect more. I want you to believe he's still the God of miracles. Come on, somebody, amen. I want you to believe he's the God that can do 1 minute, 1 moment, change your life forever. I want you to expect again. He can heal your broken heart. He can do, because see, look, we've been in this thing long enough that you love long enough that you get hurt and you don't want to love no more. See, God gave you grace. See, because in my own ability, I ain't going to love you no more. We put up walls because we don't want to hurt no more, because I love somebody and they left, and I love somebody and they hurt me, and I did this and that didn't work, and you were supposed to stay. We've been in this 30 years, but you walked out, but you were supposed to love me forever, but you stopped loving me, but I didn't do nothing wrong. So now, because I don't know, the moment has hit me, now I don't want to love nobody else, because loving people unconditionally opens me up to pain, and I don't really need the pain. Because let me tell you something, everything in life, God's got an answer for. But most things in life, we don't understand his side, and when you never understand the God side, the man side's hard. Because see, life is all about understanding the God side. Because if I just see, here's the problem with church, if I just show you the man side towards one another, it's difficult. But if I show you the God side, it's simpler. Because, see, the God side is God already gave, so I give what he gave. The man side shows, let me see your performance to tell me what I'm going to give to you. Because if you perform right, I'm going to love you, but if you don't perform right, I'm going to hold it back. See, grace has nothing to do with performance, and neither does God. God's not about performance. God doesn't promote or demote based upon performance. He gives based upon the grace. See, because this is what it was. See, man got separated from God, and we didn't even understand what we needed. So God gave us a plan called the redemption plan, and that was the whole package of everything we needed, not even knowing what we needed. So we're separated from God, lost in sin, each and every one of us was. And God goes, let me get you in the great idea. I got this new plan. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put a redemption plan together for mankind. And in this redemption plan of sending my only begotten son, I'm going to redeem you back from the sin you didn't even know you were taking part of, but you were born in it, so you're trapped in it. So God Almighty, the creator of everything, traps himself in Jesus, the Son, in the earth. He traps himself in a thing called time. Because the only way to change my life and your life, something's got to change in the earth. And heaven had to release the ability to change the earth, and he did it through Jesus. Not even knowing what we needed or what we were getting, he has a masterful plan called redemption. And when we come into the family of God, redemption kicked in because of everything that Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection. But not knowing it, when we came into family, we got all of it. And I got news for you. That was the grace of God for each and every one of us, because we didn't do nothing to deserve it. All we did was believe it, and he gave us access to it. Now, here's what happens, guys, and I know what happens. This gospel's so good that sometimes it seems so good. Why am I not living in the effects of this good gospel that I've got? Because you can't work for it. You got to just receive it. And if you're not careful, what you'll do, you'll think, my faith or my life or my service or my activity or my performance is going to determine what God can do. Because how many of you know we expect God to sometimes do stuff based upon what we do? But I got news for you. God said this: if I owe it to you, you can forget it. But if you believe me, you can have it. See, great. See, watch grace. Watch. See, Paul comes before Jesus and goes like this. He goes, look, man, I got a problem. I got this angel saint from Satan, and he's buffeting me, and I'm tired of it. Get rid of it. That's what Paul said. Paul was the apostle, right? He goes, I'm writing the Bible. It's cool. It's all great. But while I'm writing the word of God, the devil keeps coming and hammering me. Make it go away. And God says these words. He said, no, you know what? I'm not going to really make it go away. My grace will be sufficient, because in your weakness, I'm going to be made strong. So what I'm seeing is this. He's saying, I'm not going to see some of the problem. It was funny when you were telling that testimony of my buddy Eddie, right? Getting married. You would think like, man, that's like a horror story. You got like eye goop, right? Come on, right? You got eye goop. So how many of you would have been rebuking the devil? The eye goop and you're stuck in a typhoon and all of a sudden he got the blessing. See, sometimes you don't know what God's working on your life. Amen. Let God work it out. Amen. Sometimes in life, God doesn't make the problem go away. He makes you bigger than the problem. See, Paul, what am I going to do? If I keep entering into your life, in and out of your life, and make your problems go away, you'll never grow. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my grace, and then God revealed what grace really is. See, because you could try to put a definition on it based upon man, but God's definition is better than man's definition. He tells Paul, my grace will be sufficient, because in your weakness, I'm going to be made strong. You will be strong. What do you mean? He's saying this. I'm going to make you greater than the obstacle that's before you. I'm not going to, guys, listen, obstacles aren't going to go away. And I'm not going to make every obstacle go away. I'm just going to make you bigger than the trouble that's standing before you. I'm just going to make you bigger than the problem you're facing. The problems ain't always going to disappear and fade away and go away. How many of you know some of the drama is sticking around? But I'm going to make you bigger than the drama, so this way you can still have a shout in the midst of the problem. Amen? I'm going to make you bigger than the obstacle you're facing. I'm going to make you bigger than the stuff you're looking at. How are you going to do this, God? Because I'm going to give you my grace. Because my grace is my ability in you and on you, allowing you to do what you could not do by yourself. Amen? And this is one of the great words. You ready for this? Now check this out. Grace has a really cool Old Testament flow, but a New Testament revelation. Grace is basically translated the same word, favor. Favor. What you mean favor? Favor. You know what a favor means? You got something on your life that looks a little different than everybody else. You've got ability on your life allowing you to do. See, I started asking myself, you could see favor. Favor is noticeable, and favor is supernatural. It's ability on you. And I started saying, well, wait a minute, God. If favor could be on me, how do I increase grace? How do I increase favor? And you know the funniest thing of all? The only thing you got to do to increase it is just accept it. Because you can't work to get it. All you got to do is access it through belief. See, this is the thing. A lot of times in life, we don't realize it, church, but let me tell you, we're working for stuff God already gave us. Well, if I get the faith, God will do. I got news for you. He gave you the faith to get it. The Bible says, by grace through faith were you saved. You know what that means? He gave you the ability to believe him so that you could take the faith to accept him. And then he gave you the grace, which is the benefit of everything he did for you based upon his plan and not your performance. So now your performance is out of the equation. Now watch. I know what some of you are going to say. Man, you're making this too easy. No, if you make it hard, it's going to be based on works. It's got nothing to do with your works and everything to do with what? His works. His works have now given you access to everything God provided. What has that got to do for me? All I do is accept. Look, Jesus isn't going to go to the cross again and climb up there just because today you want to go get saved. It's finished. You need healing in your body today. He ain't going to climb up on no cross and say, let's do this all over again. The deal is done. I did it once and for all, and once and for all, it's finished. Now, here's the deal. All you got to do is believe it, and if you believe it, I'll give you access to what I already provided, not because of how great your faith is, but because what? How great my ability in redemption was with a grace plan, and now only thing faith has to do, see, because I'm a faith guy, you know what I mean? Oh, faith creates it. No, faith just accesses what has already been created. Faith just receives what's already finished. You better get to see that. See that right there? That's the gear shift because you're like, man, that makes it easy. It is easy. It is easy. It's all easy. But what happens is we complicate it because we want to get involved with it because we determine what God can do for us based upon what we think about God. And I got news for you. Don't take this the wrong way. I don't know a lot of people that really know God. They have an idea of who God is, but they really don't have no theology of who he is. They have an idea of what they think God does, but they really don't have a natural understanding from the Word of God what God said he'll do. They have a concept of God. They don't have a real knowledge of God in this response. This is what he said. I didn't write it. I just read it, and I'm telling you what he said. He said that you can have access to everything. You're going to say to me, preacher, that's too good. I know it's too good to be true news, but it's true. That all you got to do is take faith and access what God has already provided because it was his idea to save you. And it was his idea to heal you. And it was his idea to restore you. It was his idea to put back together what other people have tried to take out of you. It's his idea to make you complete, perfectly, wonderfully. Man, it was his idea. It was his idea to do the grace act. It was his idea. It wasn't my idea. I didn't know what I was getting. I just walked an aisle like you did and said, Jesus, come in. But when he came in, he brought restoration. He wants to restore your life. He wants to redo your life. And here's the thing I got to get you to see. So what's grace then? Grace is ability in me and on me, allowing me to do what I can't do by myself. Because what we've got here going on a lot is this. We're trying to live a Christian life without the God who set up the Christianity that we serve. We're trying to do it in our own ability, in our own strength. We're trying to do it in our own. Come on, guys. Look, don't give me that like, oh, my life is great. Look, I know some of you got marriage problems. Wait, come on, man. I know some of you got kids problems. I know somebody's got money. I'm not goofy. Somebody's got physical problems in here today. Somebody's got some stuff. I don't know. I don't even know if we went to the marriage seminar, but I don't even know if we're going to make it. Praise the Lord. Somebody's got kid problems, amen. Somebody's got mama drama. You know what I mean? You got these kids wearing, yeah. Somebody's got something going on, and the obstacles like some of you got financial pressure right now. You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. Can we get real yet? There's a time to kick in. You can trust me. I'm going to be all right. Look, can we be serious, right? You got problems. You got physical problems. You got life problems. You got married problems. You got money problems. You got body problems. You got mind problems. Some of you got so many voices running around in your head, you don't know who you are. Come on, listen to me. You got problems. Everybody's got problems, but I got news for you today. God is giving you grace for every problem you've got because the problem isn't going to knock you out and do you in, but I got news for you. The problem has just shown up to become an opportunity for breakthrough. See, because David, we didn't understand the potential in that little joker until Goliath showed up. See, Goliath just reveals who you really are. See, tests and trials in life just really understand and show me where I'm at in the place of understanding about God. Here, I'll slow it down. What's this got to do with me? Everything. Because God has given you the ability in everything to be an overcomer. See, because problems are just wrapped up opportunities for the next level of success. Because the only thing a problem really is a promise in disguise. It's a promotion in disguise. It's an opportunity to go to another level. It's an opportunity to do more, see more, be more. Now, see, here's the thing. See, hope gets deferred because the heart doesn't dream anymore. I'm just happy nothing happens, let alone then try to believe something can change. I don't even want to dream because I'm so disappointed in life. I don't even want to try to think something could change. So I'm just happy. As long as nothing else goes wrong, I'm cool with just status quo Christianity because this is cool. I'm all right with just, you know, I'm all right with, don't make me dream again, preacher, because if you make me dream again, I'm going to probably be disappointed because sometimes, you know, I don't even want to go there, so I'm not even going to try to go there. But I got news for you today. Somebody's going to dream it again. Somebody is going to believe it again. Somebody is going to expect something again to happen. Because I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking about the ability. See, I'm talking to the potential that's in you. I'm not talking to your head. I didn't come here to talk to your head. I came here to talk to your spirit. I came here to shake your spirit and let your spirit know, guess what? We can do this thing. We can be this thing. We can transform in every area of life. Because here's the thing, I got the grace for this thing. Whatever is coming here in front of me, God has given me the ability to overcome it. God has given me the ability to do. Watch this. I was looking at this, and I wrote some stuff down. I want to read it to you. I want you to see some of this stuff, because I think it could really help you. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Look at this. Think of this. Grace is what God does, and faith is what we do. See, God laid it up. Grace laid it up. Faith just responds to what grace has already provided. Because the problem is this. We think we've got to create it. We think we got to do it. We think we got to provide for it. We think, where's your faith at? You got little faith, medium-sized faith, big faith. Faith is, listen to me, faith is an obtainer. Faith is not a container. Faith obtains what God has already provided. Faith obtains what God has already finished. Faith just receives what God's finished. So what do I really got to do besides believe? Look, guys, listen, life's filled with disappointment. You can't let disappointment stop you from believing again. Because there's heaviness in here because there's brokenheartedness in here. Oh, I know, you're trying to love, but love doesn't work out sometimes the way we think love's going to work out. It's okay. Most people don't know how to love right. People don't know how to love right because people are trapped in a place where everything's based on performance. And if you love me right, I'll love you right. But if you don't love me right, I'm not going to love you right. Because if you don't do it, I'm not going to do it. So let me see what you do. And it's, see, because this is how God's figured it out from the beginning. See, God set it up. Guys, let me explain something to you. Your spouse or whatever's going on in life and stuff like that, we got to understand the order of how God does things. Because if you never understand the order of how God does things, you'll never really step into the dimension of what God has for you in that thing. Because everybody's stuck in that spot where everybody wants the right corresponding action in relationship, but we don't get it. And then we don't get what we think it should be. We stop doing what we're supposed to do because we look at performance. See, everything you do is based upon performance. And I got news for you. That's the same thing you do when you come to God. Well, I'm an okay Christian. I'm not that really great of a Christian. So I guess I don't get everything the good Christians get. I'm an all right Christian. I'm an every once in a while Christian, but I guess I don't get what all the real Christians get because every once in a while I mess up. Ha, ha, ha. No, I got news for you. God doesn't give it to you based upon performance. He gives you based upon the position that he gave you in sonship. See, we're a generation that don't know who we really are. Look, let me explain something. Jesus shows up, right? And he shows up to John, and John says these words, and you all know the story. Jesus showed up. He said, "Baptize me." And John looks at him and goes, "You got to be out of your mind. How can I'm not even worthy to latch your shoe, let alone you want me to baptize you?" And John understood what he was saying, and I don't want to go deep in this, but I want you to catch it. He says these words. He says, I'm not worthy to latch that shoe on your foot because really what you're asking me is if I baptize you, Jesus, that means I'm your pastor, and that's kind of weird because I'm supposed to be here following you. You're not supposed to follow me. But Jesus lays it down and says these words. He said what? He said, you got to do it so righteousness could be fulfilled. And watch what heaven does. The Bible says the minute Jesus comes up out of the water and John is there baptizing him, because if I baptize you, that means you're my disciple. John was the pastor of the moment. Jesus said, do what needs to be done, fulfill righteousness. And heaven opens up and says these words. That's my son in whom I'm well pleased. Why did I say that? Because the next minute, Jesus gets led into the wilderness and has no problem resisting every attempt of the devil because he knows who he is. When sonship, listen to me, when sonship was already finalized in Jesus' heart, he understood he could face any battle. Heaven reached up and said, that is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Next thing you know, he's being led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. What's the first thing the devil says to him when he sees Jesus? If you are what heaven said you are, then prove it. He said, I don't prove nothing to you. Take a stone. He said, if you are the son of God, you know the story. Take a stone, make it bread. He said, no, I won't prove to you who I am because I know who I am. Guys, if you don't know who you are, you'll always be proving to people who you are. You'll constantly try to perform. Constantly try to be something you're not. Why? If you are, I don't have to, if you are, I know who I am. When I know who I am, I don't need to show you who I am. See, that's the thing. That's identity. Once we find identification, we understand position. Once we understand who we are, we understand what we could do. Want to see it? Jesus walking with Peter one day. He goes, Peter, who am I? Well, come on, Jesus, you don't know who you are? No, Peter, you don't know who you are. And until you see who I am, you'll never discover who you are. Who am I? Well, some say you're this, and some say you're that, and some say you're John, some say that, some say you're Elijah, some say that. Who do you say that I am? See, because here's the key, guys. When you see who he is in your eyes, then you'll see what he can do for you in your life. See, a lot of people might tell you who he is, but who do you think he is? And what can he do? Peter said these words. He said, oh, you're the Christ. You're the son of the living God. He said, what did he say? He said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't give you this. My father gave you this from heaven. And he said, now let me tell you who you are. Because until you see who I am, you're never going to understand what you can do. You're Peter. You're a piece of the rock. You're this and you're that. See, you got to understand that discovery is found in that place of identity, and grace is the place that he's put us. See, you got grace for the place. Right now, I don't know what obstacle is standing before you, but I'm telling you right now, you got grace for it. Because God will never bring you to a place you can't get out of. And I want you to see this, because this is really good, and this is for in here. I want you to go with me to Zechariah chapter 4. I really want to read this. I felt like, Pastor, this is the voice for this house right now at this moment. I'm going to switch gears, because you're in that deep thought place right now. And it's okay. There's always something different. Understanding who he is and what he does can help me understand who I am and what I can see. I've got to get an understanding. See, because look, Jacob did the same thing that Peter did. Jacob shows up one day, he wrestles with an angel. Sounds like a great story, right, guys? You know, Jacob stood there, he said, oh, I'm going to wrestle with you all night long. Because why? Tomorrow morning, I'm going to face my brother, who I stole the birthright from. And when I see him one more time, he's probably going to kill me. So I'm going to stay up all night long wrestling with an angel. How many of you know desperation will cause miracles to happen in your life? Come on, you know what I'm saying? So he says these words, and he says them strong. He says, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. So he wrestled with an angel all night long, and the Bible said that. He said what? He said, I'll bless you. He said, what do you want? He said these words. He said this. He said, who are you? He says this. He goes, I'm Jacob. And he goes, no, you're Israel. Watch what he said. He said, I'm a liar, because your name is your identity. I'm a liar. I'm a cheater, and I'm a stealer of a birthright. He said, no, you're Israel. You're a nation. You just don't understand yourself right now. There's potential in you you have not unlocked because you don't know who you are. But you see yourself trapped in your old identity, but your old identity is not your new place of what? Identity. So I'm going to shift how you see you, because until you shift how you see you, you'll never understand what I can do. To get him to go to another level of sight, he had to remove his identity. See, you ain't who you used to be. Look. Watch, come on. Now I got you guys. I know where you're at. I found you. I just located you. You think you're not there. You're there already. See, you think, some of you are professional Christians. It's good. I'll show you how you do it. I know a pastor gets up there and says we're new creatures in Christ, but, you know, I became a new creature in Christ, and I still, you know, do a little stuff I don't need to be doing. Well, I got news for you. It's okay. I'm not giving you a sign off to keep doing it. That's why Jesus said, don't go that way no more. But just because you have a lack of understanding in an area, in all due respect, that doesn't disqualify you from what Christ positionally gave you. Now, let me help you. Because, look, this is good, right? Because I want to be with you. I want to help you. See, here's the thing. Well, you know, I'm a new creature. You know, Pastor gets up there. I'm a new creature in Christ. Well, I became a new creature in Christ in 94. But you know how much dope I smoked from 94 to now? Hey! Pastor Chris, I'm a new creature in Christ, but you know how much cussing I've been doing since a new creature to now? Pastor Chris, You know, I'm a believer. You know, I walked the aisle. They gave me a membership certificate. I'm part of Elevate Life, but I'm a new creature. But you know how much junk I did from the new creature to now? You know how much new creature you pump that thing out there, and I don't even know if I can grab it and believe it because I've been hanging out where I shouldn't be hanging out, doing what I shouldn't be doing, doing the things and staying there. And I got news for you. Guess what God did for that? See, because he took your sin and nailed that to the cross too and said, it's finished. You say, Pastor Chris, what do you mean? Well, you got to understand the newness doesn't wear off. See, your new Christian smell hasn't worn off yet. Your new Christianity smell hasn't walked out. One day I said, Lord, well, you got to explain it because I don't understand it. He said, every time you're walking, I'm washing. I said, what'd you say? He said, every time you're walking, I'm washing. He said, what do you mean? He said, I don't ever live. See, you only have today because tomorrow eventually will only become today. Yesterday is finished and tomorrow will only become today because you can't do nothing about tomorrow because until you're in it, you don't get to do nothing about it. But I'll tell you how you change your tomorrow. By the seeds you sow today, because only today is a harvest of yesterday. And remember this, don't forget this. The only voice your future will ever hear are the seeds you sow today. The only voice your future hears are the seeds you sow today. That's it, nothing else. So really, the only thing I'm guaranteed is today, because tomorrow will eventually become today. So all I got is 24 hours to change my life. Increments of time, that's it. Time's the most valuable thing we have. But Jesus said, when you're walking, I'm watching because I don't live in anything but now. See, God, we live on chronological time like clock. God lives on kairos. He lives in now. If it ain't now, it ain't faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. If it's not now, it's not faith. If it's going to happen, it's not faith. If it's not now, it's not faith. It's got to be now. Faith is now. Anything else is hope. But hope doesn't change nothing. Hope's a good waiter, but faith is a good getter. Hope waits, but hope deferred makes your heart sick. So you finally got to get to a place of faith to change something. Because faith's the only thing that changes anything. And God works with time because he comes in and out of it easy. But he only lives in the now. So I said, what do you mean? He said, God said, I'm only in the now. And every minute you're in the now, that's where I am. And I stay in now. So you don't really have a past because I've washed you clean of your past. And your present is taken care of and your future too. So I said, what do you mean by washing? He said, I live in the now. So every step you take is now. And that's yesterday. And this is now tomorrow. And I can only do something in today. So I only live in your today. So when you show up right now, you stay in now. And then every now and then every now and every time now and every time now. And see, every time you walk, I wash, because that's why the angels are going crazy in heaven, because they ain't just seeing a side of God they never seen before. They've been with him from the beginning of the foundation of the world. They just never seen this thing called man. And the grace that God has towards this thing called man, because this man person you are is mesmerizing to angels, because they can't understand why every time it looks like we slip and stumble, God's got a plan of mercy and grace. Because what you got to understand was the Old Testament throne of mercy has now become the New Testament throne of grace. And he took his blood and he laid it on the altar and now has created a throne of grace. He said, in your time of need, come to your throne of grace and ask for help. That's Hebrews. And the Bible said this, that every time we look like we slip and stumble, that blood cries out because the blood's still alive. And every time it looks like we make a mistake, that altar of God, that throne of grace is now screaming out saying, what? Redeemed, justified, mercy, grace, whatever it is. So when you slip and you stumble, God's blood cries out, forgiven, free, not guilty, no judgment. You can't pass it. It's justified. And angels are going, holy. They're banging into the walls of heaven because they can't understand how wonderful you are. Because a third of the angelic host with the swoop of a tail left with Lucifer, and God did nothing. But you slipped in the garden and he sent his son. Figure out how wonderful you are. Don't look at your sin. Your sin your sin is just trying to identify you to your past. But I got news for you. Your past is over. He took. Man, I'm telling you what he did. He took them sins and he put them right in between his hand in that cross. The Bible says he took your paperwork and he put it on that cross and he put it right between his hand and he laid his hand on your sin on that cross and said, okay, I'm ready. Do it. How do you put the metal in the earth that they make the nails to crucify you with? How in the world do you put the trees in the earth they hang you on? How do you do this, God? I could get out of this if I want to get out of it, but I don't want to get out of it. I'll call legions of angels. I'll get out of here. But I've been made for this. I've been destined for this. And this is what I'm supposed to do for you. So what's your sin going to do to what he did? He annihilated it once and for all. Can't keep you trapped no more. Can't keep you bound no more. Can't keep you trapped in the dimension of time because it's finished. And he stuck that paperwork and put his hand right there and said, okay, go ahead, take the nails that I gave you and crucify me because I'm okay with it because I know it's going to bring them to me. So what's my sin going to undo that he already paid the price for? See, if I can understand what he did, I can understand the balance of what I can have. So as I walk, he washes. I walk, he washes. I walk, he's washing because he only lives in now. So every step I take, he's in the now. So his perpetual mercy. And angels are freaking out. They're going, holy, holy, holy. Because I'm going to tell you, the accuser of the brethren is working real hard. He's been speaking to you in your head. The third voice in your head is the most dangerous voice you've got. It's always the voice of reason because man should have never had reason. It only showed up in the garden. Your answer should always be yes. Because God never wanted anything else but yes, but in the garden, he had an opposer and Lucifer showed up. Because rebellion, the third voice in your head is always the voice of rebellion. Remember that. Don't forget it. It might come slippery and sound real cool, but it's not. It's rebellious in its thought and its action because it's never really based or balanced in God. It's based and balanced in sin and the opinion of man. So today we got to make a choice. All right, watch. Let's just read the Zechariah chapter for you. All right? You doing okay? All right. Because this I got to get in the house. Because here's what you got to do. Zechariah 4:1, we're going to be okay? Watch this. Zechariah 4:1, and the angel talked with me and came. Look at this. Talked with me and came again, and he waked me, and he said this. He says, a man waketh out of his sleep. He said to me, hey, what do you see? I said, I don't know. I see a golden candlestick. I see a bowl. I see this. I see pipes. I see lamps. I see this. I don't know what I'm looking at. I see two olive trees. I see this. I don't understand. So he spoke to me in verse 4, and the angel talked to me, saying, what are these, my Lord? He said, I don't know. The angel talked with me and answered and said to me, you know this? He said, I don't even know what you're showing me. In verse 6, he says these words. He answered and spoke to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying what? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Come on, guys. He's saying, so you got to understand something. He's got a little tiny wall. This is what was going on. It's a little tiny wall. But he said this. He said, you're going to build that thing not by might. You're going to build that thing not by power. You're going to build it by my spirit, says the Lord. You got to understand something. This is a great task that's before him. He's saying, look, he said, there's a little baby wall. And they're laughing at him like, you're going to build what? How you going to do this? What? How you going to do it? How you going to get that ministry? How you going to do this? How you going to do that? Come on, I'm closing. Watch. How you going to do this? He said, not by might, not by your might and not by your. See, we start doing things in our strength. You can't do it no more. You got to get the grace. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. He said, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says who? The Lord. Now watch this, right? He said, look at verse 7. He said, hey, mountain, who are you before Zerubbabel? That you shall become small like a plane. And he said, what? You now bring forth the headstone, therefore shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying this, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and I got news for you. His hands will finish it. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to finish what you started. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to finish what you started. You're going to finish this thing. Look what he said. He said, your hands will finish it. Remember that dream? Remember that plan? Remember that purpose? Remember that word from God? Come on, church. Remember that word from God? Remember that promise he gave you about that kid? Remember that thing he told you you'll do? Guess what? He's going to finish what he said because he didn't forget what he said just because of the circumstances of life. Remember when he brought you out here? Remember when he got you at this church? Remember when that dream showed up? Remember when that promise came? Remember when God said something? He's going to finish it. Watch this, watch this, watch this. And he said what? He said, and the Lord sent me. And he said this, he said this. He said, who are you despise the days of small beginnings? Oh, my God in heaven. Who do you despise the days of the little things? He said these words. He said, for they shall rejoice and they shall seize Zerubbabel and build it. Why? He said, don't despise the small things. Be faithful. Don't despise the school. Man, I'm tired of the school. No. Don't despise the little things. I started in the synagogue. I was the man in the synagogue. You seen that thing. She was the girl in the synagogue. Don't despise the small things. Don't despise the small things. What your hands started, your hands will finish. What your hands started, your hands will finish. What we finish, hey, we're going to finish what we start. God called us. We're going to do this thing. But I love this. He looks at the mountain. He said, Zerubbabel, this is what I want you to do. What's that? He said, I want you to go down to the mountain. And I want you to yell at it. Look at verse 7. He said, Zerubbabel, that mountain's going to fall and become like a plane. You got mountain. What's your mountain look like? What pictures of the past become a mountain that keep you trapped in its dimension of time? What stuff is trying to keep you? What mountain? What kind of money mountain, family mountain, life mountain problem you got? He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the mountain, and I want you to look at it and go, grace, grace. I want you to go down. See, because look, the mountain might be bigger than me, but it ain't bigger than my God. That mountain might look huge right now. but it isn't bigger than what my God can do. That mountain might look, see, we try, how are we going to do it? I don't care about nothing. They will tell you at the ministry, I don't care about nothing. I'm a new dude. I walk around, grace. Well, you don't handle responsibility? I handle the responsibilities I can, and anything out of my hand, I give it to God. I know what to do a little bit, but when I don't know what to do, grace. Man, life starts becoming easier. Life starts becoming simpler because a lot of stuff you're trying to take your faith and you're trying to put yourself in, I'm going to do it. And look what my faith's going to do. And look what that's going to do. And look what's going to happen over here. And look what's, no. Sometimes you got to just look at some obstacles and go like this. What? Grace. Sometimes you just got to look. Well, I don't know. How are you going to get the building? Grace. How are you going to do it? Where are you going to get the money? Grace. How are you going to get the plan? Grace. I need the grace of God. What's the grace of God? Ability in me and on me, allowing me to do what I cannot do by myself. Listen today. You got to start speaking it out of your mouth. I need grace, God. I need the ability in me and on me to allow me to do what I can't do by myself. Come on. What are you going to do with your career? Grace. What are you going to do with life? Grace. What are you going to do with some of these kids? Grace. What are you going to do with that marriage? I need ability. God, show me and teach me and lead me and guide me and show me how to find a way of hope. I got to have grace. I got to get some grace in this place, man. I'm trying to do it in my ability. Because I don't know how much faith I got to have. I just don't want nothing bad to happen. Come on, stop. Grace. I need God's ability. He said, listen, your hands started it. Your hands will finish it. He said, you'll finish what you started.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.